Good morning, everybody. Let's stand. Let's begin our time of worship as we sing to our God. Let's sing like this together. Joy. Good morning. This is my dear friend and brother, Kanji, and I'm just going to ask him to lead us this morning in these next couple songs.
Amen. Come on, church. We believe in an everlasting God, amen? And we believe that strength will rise, amen? Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait. Upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon
our God.
Our God, you reign forever.
He is our hope.
Our hope, our strong deliverer.
You are
the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you hold glory.
You're the defender of the weak.
You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Now, church, as you might be able to tell, or maybe not, you know, I'm not from here, I'm from Africa. And here's what we believe, you know, that we praise God with all our mind, cerebrally, with all our heart, and with all our strength. And how we praise God with our strength is we use our bodies, okay? So we're going to do some body praising. Is that okay? So put your hands together, everybody, everybody. All right, now then, the next move is very simple. Doesn't require much, just a little sway, like this. Hey, we praise God with all our bodies, hey. All right. Now, we will just lift our hands in the air like this, like a palm tree. And now this way it gets a bit complicated, but we're praising Jesus, amen. All right, here we go. And shake it a little, and then we turn. 2, 3, we turn. Turn it around. Come on, lift up a shout to Jesus.
You guys looked amazing. Well done, church. Have a seat. We're going to continue in worship. I wanted to tell a story. In 2006, my dear friend Josh McGowan and I put a team together and went to Kenya to go visit Julie. And that's where I met Kanji. 15 years ago, we spent 1 week together, and then I haven't seen him since, till last night. But the kinship, the brotherhood, just immediate, as soon as I got to see and hug you again. And we got to lead worship in the fields of Africa together. But there's one poignant memory I wanted to share this morning. We're sitting in the porch. There's a river going by. And it begins to rain. And there was a 9-year-old girl, and she was one of the worship leaders at a local church. And she began to sing this song. And I come to find out later that Kanji actually wrote it. But after that, 2006, I brought that song here, and we learned it. And so you guys might remember, it goes like this.
Fall down, Spirit of God, fall down, fall down, fall down.
Sing that again. Fall down, say,
and fall.
Let's sing, heal us, we pray. Oh, Lord, heal us right now, Lord.
Heal us, Spirit of God. Heal,
Lord, we pray, we pray.
Heal,
oh, my Lord.
Heal us, Spirit of God. Heal.
Then we add it apart. It goes like this. We wait on you, Lord, in hope and in faith. Oh, this morning we do, Lord, that our hearts will be restored. Oh, Lord, on us your power outpour. Tell them we wait on you.
We wait on you, Lord,
right now, Lord,
in hope and in faith, that our hearts will be restored. Oh, Lord, on us your power outpour.
We sing, rain down, rain down.
This is what I know to be true, that God's presence is the ultimate difference maker in our lives. And I'm reminded of the story of Moses, and God told him, you know, you guys are too difficult. I can't deal with you. So you can finish the mission and you'll get to the promised land, right? But I won't go with you. And that's when Moses says his famous words, and he says, Lord, unless your presence goes with us, we will not go. And that's what I think our posture must be when it comes to the presence of God. That God, your presence is more important than the rescue of my family. It's more important than my business success. It's more important than me. Your presence is the most important thing. And Lord, unless you go with us, we will not go. So as we sing this, I want us to sing it again. But as we sing it, could we consciously ask God's presence to go with us? To fill us, not just here in this moment, but to fill us in our families, to fill us at our workplaces, to fill us in our schools, to fill this nation. How many people know that this nation is indeed of God? Amen. Let's sing together. Say, fill us.
Feel us, feel us,
Spirit of this great God to fall upon us in a way that he
never has before, to fill us that we can be this great ambassadors of Christ, taking his gospel to every corner of the world, every corner of our lives. Lord, we lift up our hands as a true sign of surrender, because we know that true worship is just about surrender. And we say, fall down, just the congregation. Fall down, fall down. Yes.
Spirit of God, fall.
We call on you, Jesus. Sing it again, fall down.
Prayer. In Jesus' name we said, amen, amen. Sing like this. He is my rock, my shield, my fortress. He's my salvation and my strength. The cords of death, they were surrounding. But he heard my cry for help. He is my refuge. He is my refuge, my high tower. He's my deliverer, so strong. Yes, he is, he is. The snares of death, they were come from. Oh, but he heard.
Our God will reign forevermore.
So I'll stand and trust. I'll stand in faith, and I will not be ashamed.
Keep the time for me. If I'm honest with you, I would admit and say, but I feel shaken. But I've been shaken. I feel like I'm gonna be shaken. And sometimes that's, it makes me think, can I really sing this song today? But that bridge tells us why we can't. Even when I'm shaken and my world is rocked, there's a God who says, I will not be moved. And because I will not be moved, you will not be moved today. You will not be shaken by His grace, by His power, by His love. So we got to declare that again. Our God, come on, say.
Yeah, our God will not be moved. Our God will never change.
Let's end with one chorus like this.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Swahili for us this morning.
Johnny to mu abu do. Johnny to mu abu do. Johnny to mu abu do.
Oh. That's right. That's right. We'll praise His name. His name. We praise Your name, the name above every other, the name by which we can be called loved and saved and seen and known. Amen. We love You, Lord. Thank You for loving people like us today. In Jesus' name we said, amen, amen. Amen. What a gift to be together. We can applaud. Thank You, Lord, for being here with us.
Well, gang, it is great to be with you. Those of you who are here and those of you who are online, want to welcome you. If you're a visitor or guest, my name is Tom. What an honor and privilege to have you here among us. And, of course, my CA family, great to be with you as well. Well, I have two parts of news to share with you. First part's bittersweet. Second part's only sweet. So we'll do the bittersweet part first. The bittersweet news is that Viv Stone, who has served as our kids' church pastor for 23 years at this church, yeah.
I am so grateful for you, Viv, for your consistent love and for your faithfulness, first of all to the Lord, but also to the kids and the families here at CA.
Viv, thank you so much for your genuine, sincere faith in Jesus. You have not been faking it. I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for your passion to see faith passed down from one generation to the next. And Viv, thank you for your joy, your enthusiasm, and your excellence. They've all been such gifts to the Christian Assembly family. Love you. Thankful for you.
Hey, Viv. I'm so thankful for the impact that you've had on my life. I'm so grateful for how you've poured into my faith development, and I'm so thankful for you.
Viv, thanks for blessing our church, our family, our kids, and for being my friend. I love you so much.
Viv, when I think about you, I think about how vibrant you are. I think about how consistent you've been over the years. I grew up at Kids Church, and having a face that was familiar every week to greet me as a young kid was so helpful. When I didn't come from a home that had a ton of stability, Kids Church was always stable, and that's because of you and your legacy.
Viv, we want you to know how much we love you. How thankful we are for your investment of time and all of your hugs and prayers and leadership that have gone into this church and into our family.
You have not lived just for this moment, but you have raised up new leaders that are going to continue to guide children to Jesus. That is such a gift.
Thank you, Viv, for your love and care for me at Kids Church. Now I'm part of the volunteer team and I love it.
Viv, some of the sweetest memories that I have were of pulling into the CA parking lot and seeing you underneath the kids' church tent and my kids spotting you and yelling your name, Vivi! And before we were even parked, seatbelts were unclicking and they were ready to jump out of the car and, according to Josiah, receive one of the best hugs from you.
Hi, Vivi. Viv, I have known you a lot of years. I have loved you for so long. And as I've watched your life over these many years we've served together and before, I know you to be faithful. Vivi, you are faithful to God and to the people in this church that you serve. You are a person who loves Jesus deeply. I am so grateful to know you. I am grateful to be a part of your life because God's fingerprint is on my life because of you. And Viv, from the bottom of my heart, well done. I love you, honey.
Your love has planted something in this church that is unshakable. So thank you for using your giftings. Thank you for your love. And you'll always be in my heart.
Viv, we love you so much. You're such a deep woman of God, but also a woman of great joy, and those two things go together. We love you, Viv.
Thank you so much for everything that you've done for this family, and we wish you the best in your new endeavors. God bless you.
Thank you, Viv. I love you. You're the best. I love you, Viv.
We love you, Viv.
We love you, Viv.
What do you say?
Thank you, Viv.
Would you welcome Viv as she comes on up here? Comes up. Viv, we love you. We're so grateful for you. Let me just say a few words. You are more than a coworker to me. You are a dear personal friend. We call you one of our California grandparents for our kids, and that means the world to us because we are far from our biological family. Thank you for welcoming us in. You're a woman of deep faith, deep prayer, great creativity, and a lot of fun and joy. Any room I'm in, if you're in the room, I know there's going to be laughter and joy and faith and fun. And I love how you bring that together. Viv, we've had many walks together, many talks together. You've weighed in as part of our management team, making all sorts of decisions beyond even Kids Church, but of course for Kids Church as well. And the fruitfulness of your faith and the fruitfulness of your life is astounding. You're one of the very best leaders I've ever met, and I know a lot of leaders. You're one of the very best. Your faith runs deep, and I know I speak for a whole church when we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and we love you. Mark, share just a word or two to your dear sis.
Well, it's 23 years of service to our community, but Bobby and Viv, Arlene and I share almost 50 years of history together, so we've got a lot of you are too. And you better be nice, because I know stuff. There's a proverb, and it simply says that there are a lot of people who, paraphrase, talk a big game, but then the rhetorical question is posed, where can you find a faithful person? Viv Stone fulfills that proverb, her faithfulness and her faith and her friendship. And I was thinking, Viv, of the untold thousands of kids that have been touched, families.
Amazing.
That have been altered because you've been among us. Thank you, Viv. Thank you.
Smart hand the microphone to Viv, yep. And Viv, I just want to give you a couple moments to share what's on your heart to share to the church. So.
Okay. First of all, I'm so overwhelmed. I feel like I won an Academy Award or something. Now I'm going to give a speech. I hope it's not as boring as the Academy Award speeches are. But anyway, I just wrote a few thoughts, and I'd like to share them with you. First, I really am. It was so awesome seeing all these staff. Gosh, and here I wanted to say that I'm so thankful to have worked with the CA staff, because those people are the most amazing, gifted, talented, passionate, godly, hardworking people I know. I admire them so much, and I'm going to miss them terribly. This last year has been so bittersweet. Having given a year's notice, I've had much time to reflect as that Band-Aid's been slowly tearing off. And yes, I'm excited to retire, and I'm also very sad. But mostly, I'm grateful for a job that hasn't felt like a job at all, but has been an enormous blessing in my life. And as I make this transition, I'm also grateful for the hundreds of volunteers in our congregation who have served in Kids Church over the years, some even 20 years, even more. And I want to thank you for your faithful service to those who some may consider the least of these. For every hand held, every high five given, every listening ear, every snack distributed, every cup of water, bottles fed, trips to the bathroom, lessons taught, diapers changed, worship led, teachings, Words spoken, kind words spoken, for every service provided, I thank you. With these simple acts of love, our children are growing up loving Jesus and mostly loving church. Not mostly more than Jesus, but they're loving church too. Their hearts are turned towards God. I see it every week. And they're growing in the knowledge of his love and amazing grace. What a gift. In fact, starting 6 years ago, Kids Church began tracking the decisions kids made to follow Jesus. And I looked over the numbers, and they totaled 670. I can only imagine how many lives are following Jesus from the previous 17 years that we didn't get to record. Psalm 103:17 says, "Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you've made passes from parents to children to grandparents and beyond." What an amazing promise. There is an eternal legacy flowing from CA to future generations. We don't know the full impact now, but one day we will. December 31st is my official last day, but Kids Church will continue to bless hundreds of children every weekend. Rebecca Schubert will take the helm, and she will far surpass me as a leader. I promise you, she is well equipped for this job. Our KC team is stronger than ever, and they are passionate and fully committed to serving our kids. I'm leaving this ministry in good, worthy hands. My prayer is that you'll continue to serve and bless this ministry to our children and support our Kids Church team as they continue walking through this transition. And thank you for this very undeserved honor, and I am so thankful to have served here for 23 years, and thank you for the beautiful presentation and all your love. I appreciate it.
Mark, would you just say a word of prayer as we bless Viv?
Let's pray for that they'll be so miserable they'll come back. We give a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for Viv. Thank you for Bobby.
Bless her now, Lord, we pray.
We thank you for the many years. The behind the scenes things that no one ever saw, that no one ever knew. And yet, thank you, Lord, that faith was built in all of us because of the life that Viv lives out as she serves Jesus. So we bless you, Viv, in this season ahead. We pray for health and new adventures and for flourishing. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Viv, we have a little gift that Carly's going to bring over for you, just as a little token of thanksgiving. For you. And we love you, Viv. Mark, would you take that and just set this down? Because we're going to be up here for a moment longer. As I've already shared, we've had a year's notice. That's a long time to ask somebody to give notice, but we wanted that time to be able to pray and discern. So Viv gave us that notice December of last year, letting me know that that was going to be the case. And so from January to like June-ish, we were in a process of discernment and praying. And it really began by asking Viv, who do you think should be your successor? She, as she's already shared, named Rebecca. But from there, it had included times one-on-one with me with Rebecca, one-on-one Mark with Rebecca. I interviewed privately all the Kids Church staff, talked to a number of parents as well. We brought Becca into our management team as well. And through that process, she was selected as the unanimous decision to step into this role. Many of you will know Becca. Becca has been on our Kids Church staff for 12 years. She serves as a 3-4-5 Kids Church pastor and has been overseeing a lot of the content and curriculum for the online as well. So she has high regard amongst her peers for them to all want her to be the person. So she'll be stepping into that role. In fact, she already has. They've been co-leading Kids Church together this fall. And also, as a corresponding move, you might be wondering, well, what's going on with 3-4-5 then? Becca will still be part of that and be involved in that, but we also promoted MJ Nelson, who a number of you will know. Yeah, really awesome. MJ was an intern and then an apprentice, and then he was part-time, and now with this corresponding move, we've now made him full-time as of last June for 345 Kids Church, and those of you who have kids in 345, you know how amazing MJ is. So without any further ado, let me bring Rebecca on up. So come on up here, Rebecca. Becca, we love you, and we're so grateful for you. And to be honest, knowing that you're going to be stepping into this role is like, lets me not have a heart attack, because I know how faithful, how much you love kids, how much you love this church. I love that we're able to, in a sense, promote from within rather than just bringing from the outside, because you know us and we know you. And we know that this is going to be a great fit. So I'm so very grateful for your 12 years of service already. So excited about all that's in front of us. And so, church, can we just, as a round of applause, honor Rebecca for her past service and her coming one? So, Rebecca, I just want to give you a chance, Mark, if you could share the microphone, to just share what's on your heart. What do you want to say to the church as you step into this new endeavor?
Yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to have been a part of this family, to be a part of the Kids Church staff, being led by Viv, who I love dearly and will miss. But I am humbled and excited to move into this new role. It is an honor to partner with parents and to support you as you raise your children to know and to love and to follow Jesus, and to get to be a part of a Kids Church team that I know does everything that they can to make sure that every child who comes to Kids Church experiences the love and the acceptance of God. A team that is committed to planting the seeds of the gospel. And as we do that, we trust God, who begins that good work in each child's heart, that he is going to be faithful to complete it. So yes. I'm thrilled to be able to continue in this work, and just grateful, so grateful. My heart's really full.
That's
thanks.
Awesome. We love you, Becca. And what we're going to do now is we're going to pray and commission you. And I want you, Viv, to be the one who leads us. So could you just lay hands on Becca and Mark do the same? And church, would you join us as we pray for Rebecca and commission her?
Lord, I just thank you for Becca's life and the gift that she is to our church and to me personally. Lord, I just pray for favor for Becca. We pray for strength for her. We pray for confidence as she takes the helm and leads Kids Church. Father, we pray for wisdom and grace and for guidance for her. I just ask that you would encourage her heart.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would give her all that she needs to do this job well. Give her patience, Lord, with people and staff and all the different things that she's going to need. We just come to you and just trust that you will give her those things in time, and thank you for her life, and thank you for this bright future and the excitement of stepping into leadership and having a challenge ahead of her that we know you're going to give her the strengths to fulfill. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Church, two last things I want to ask of you. One, if your life or the life of your kids have been impacted by Viv, she'll be around a couple more weeks. They'll continue to be part of the church even after the retirement. But I want to encourage you, don't just think it, tell her. Text her, write her, talk to her, tell her. And then for Rebecca, as she steps into this season, don't just think that you're excited. Tell her, I'm excited. What can I do to be part of it? So one last time, can we just applaud and say thank you to God for these two amazing women, two amazing leaders. Okay. And now you can stand up and greet one another, say hi to those around you, and get to know one another.
Hey, everyone. It is great to be with you. My name is Jill. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you're joining us for worship. If you are new or visiting, we are especially glad that you are here. We have connection cards in your seat backs. You can fill that out to let us know that you are new, and then drop that in the offering bags in just a moment, and one of our pastors would love to follow up with you. We also have a new people's table out in the lobby, so be sure to stop by there after the service. We also want to say a very special welcome to anyone who's joining us online. So if you're with us online, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you are joining us. Well, you guys, I want to let you know about something we want to invite you to after our service today. Out in the courtyard, we want to invite you to just come hang out with us. Our staff will be there. You guys will all be there. And we want to just spend time having some fun, getting to know each other, taking photos. If you want your photo with Marvin and Ralph, you can do that. We have a bunch of those frames created. We also have hot chocolate, hot apple cider, coffee, and cookies. So please plan to join us. We would love to hang out with you after the service. Well, we are so excited about our upcoming Christmas services happening next weekend. We want to remind you that in addition to our 6 o'clock Saturday service, we have also added a 4 o'clock Saturday service this upcoming Saturday. And so if you plan to join us on Sunday, awesome. If you plan to join us on Saturday, we want to remind you we are trying something as a way of helping to balance the number of people who attend both those Saturday services. So we want to ask you to jump in with us and try this with us. If you're planning to attend a Saturday service next weekend and you do not have kids in our 6, 7, 8 student ministries program, but your last name begins with the letters A through K, it would be awesome if you could join us for our 4 o'clock Saturday service next Saturday. And then if your last name starts with the letters L through Z, plan to join us for our Saturday 6 p.m. service. And again, if you have kids in 6, 7, 8, please feel free to join us for our Saturday 6 p.m. service. We're not going to be checking last names at the door. So if your last name starts with A and you can't make it to the 4 o'clock, just come to the 6 o'clock. But if possible, try this out with us to help balance the number of people at each service. We also are no longer doing RSVPs. So if you haven't RSVP'd, no worries, just join us for one of our services next weekend. Our Christmas Eve services we're also excited about. Those are happening on Thursday and Friday, December 23rd and 24th. Lastly, we want to remind you, just invite your friends, your family, neighbors to join us for our Christmas and our Christmas Eve services. We have Christmas invites as well as Kids Church Christmas invites out in the lobby. Well, now is the time in our service where we have the opportunity to continue in worshiping our great God through the giving of our tithes and offerings. So in just a moment, we'll pass around the offering bags, but you can also give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website. As always, Christian Assembly, thank you so much for your ongoing giving and generosity. And if you're new or visiting, please feel no obligation to give. I'm going to invite the ushers forward, and as we receive our offering tonight, I'm also going to invite Matt forward, and we'll get to hear from him this evening.
Okay, thank you, Jill. And to my church family, whether here or those of you online, so glad to have this time with you. My name's Matt. If you are visiting this evening or perhaps joining us for the first time, it's an honor to have you with us. Well, Christmas time is here. No doubt about it, and we're going to turn our attention for the next few weeks to the thrill of hope that is offered at Christmas. You may have seen in the news just this past week that Christmas is causing some new conflicts in Europe. Did you see this in the news? Of course, we know that Christmas has been offending people in America for years now, but several European leaders from France and Italy and other nations have been speaking out, voicing their support for Christmas to be recognized and to be celebrated. Some of those supporters have been more genuine than others. One leader in Italy had this to say: Mary the Mother, John the Father, long live the Holy Christmas. I hope that in Europe no one will be offended. Poor Joseph got replaced by some guy named John. What is it? What is it about the human heart that can so easily get offended and caught up with division? So that even Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year, is divisive. What is it about humanity that we keep, it seems like, inventing almost every week new reasons for conflict? We're not just divided. We are divisive. We even invent new ways to cancel, unfollow, and unfriend. And with divisive political views and vaccination statuses and opinions on masks and all the rest, maybe it's better just to leave one another alone and not wish anyone a merry anything. Our divisive trends do not make for a very hospitable, holly jolly Christmas. And so as I was thinking about Christmas being a thrill of hope this year, I thought it could be good for us to talk about hospitality. I thought that, how well, just ask yourself, in fact, this question: how welcoming are you feeling this Christmas? And what could be a divisive, touchy, polarized, welcome challenged Christmas season? Let's spend some time in the Jesus School of Hospitality. Some say the world has never been so divisive as it is right now. But history and the Bible tell us that it's not a new problem. It's the same unwelcoming world into which Jesus was born. You know the old story in Luke's Gospel. You can see the verses in your bulletin, and they will be on the screens as well. This well-known story that says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to get registered. This story opens with a government mandate, and everyone registers in this census. Everybody, go back to where you came from and be counted among your own kind of people. This is early identity politics right here. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. That's where his family was rooted, in that place. They belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. No room. Jesus was born into an unwelcoming world. And there's a familiar depiction of Mary and Joseph going from hotel to hotel, knocking on the doors, and there just aren't any rooms. Marriott's full, VRBOs are booked. But this seems strange to me, because Joseph goes to Bethlehem, remember, for the census, because that's his family's town. It would seem to me that Joseph would have other family there with him, that maybe other out-of-town family would be coming into town, into little Bethlehem. I imagine out-of-town family spending the night at others' homes, and uncles sleeping on sofas, and cousins in sleeping bags on the floor. Surely someone is going to take in Joseph and his pregnant girlfriend. Ah, but that's the problem. The family, to them, it looks like Joseph's in some trouble. They know the story. They aren't married. She's pregnant. He says he's not the dad, and instead there's a rumor that a miracle happened. And to the family, it looks like trouble with this girl. He could have at least quietly broken off the engagement and left her behind in Nazareth. Maybe there were not guest rooms available for all that trouble. This story has a hospitality challenge in it. And our qualifications of who we welcome might be different today, but believe me, we still have hospitality challenges today. Bias and suspicion, preference and division have always challenged the human heart and clouded our welcome to one another. What do we do about it? I want to tell you three lessons of hope that Jesus gives us in an unwelcoming world. We're going to go to the Jesus School of Hospitality here. Here's the first lesson that he teaches us. He teaches us that out of this unwelcome beginning of his, Jesus became a master class on hospitality, and we can too. We get a description of this later in Luke's gospel when Jesus responds to a very common accusation against him. This is something his critics launched at him in Luke 7:34. Jesus says, "The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say to him, you criticize him, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and other sinners." Notice that they didn't say he's a leader of sinners. They didn't say he's a teacher of sinners or a pastor of sinners. They said he's a friend of sinners. Jesus' critics recognized what Jesus did as friendship. The unacceptable, the unwelcome kind of people, those were Jesus' kind of people. And his welcome of friendship was changing lives. He was demonstrating for all the world God's welcome to new life with him. In Jesus, he was a master class of hospitality. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." He said, "Are you thirsty? Come and drink in the Spirit of God, and you'll never thirst again. Are you weary? Come to me and rest. Are you a sinner? Come and follow me, and I'll give you life you can't give yourself." Jesus said, out of this no-room world, he said, "In my Father's home, there's plenty of room, and I'm preparing a place there for you." The thrill of hope at Christmas includes the thrill of being welcomed. Welcomed by Almighty God into life with Him. And when you're welcomed like that, it changes how you welcome others. People who know Jesus have always been inspired to become expert welcomers. Paul says it in Romans 15. He says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." This is how we show the world who our God is, by the way we welcome them. Jesus has given us a master class on hospitality so that we might become welcomed into life with God and then to welcome one another the way He welcomes us. Here's the second lesson that Jesus gives us. Jesus looks beyond who people are and He welcomes them the way they can become with him. Jesus looks beyond who people are, and he welcomes them to become who they can be with him. The Gospels are full of examples of this. Jesus looked at a lame man and welcomed him to run and leap with the joy and freedom of his sins forgiven and his legs healed. Jesus looked at an insecure fisherman named Simon and welcomed him to become a courageous preacher called Peter. Jesus looked at a tax collector named Matthew and welcomed him out of that bad news business to become an evangelist of the good news of God's love. Jesus looked at an old man named Nicodemus and welcomed him to start his life all over again. Jesus looked at a man named Saul, hell-bent on destroying the church, and welcomed him to become a church planter dedicated to spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus is always looking beyond who we are to welcome us to become who we can be with him. What's Jesus see when he looks at you? Who's Jesus welcoming you to become with him? I love how Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Evaluating others from a human point of view means looking at each other with assumptions and suspicions about one another. It's looking at each other to say, oh yeah, I see you. I've got you all figured out. I know what you're like. You're trouble. You're awkward. I can tell what news you listen to. On and on. The assumptions go and the suspicions of the human point of view until there's lots of room for us to divide over and very little room to welcome one another. Paul says, we even made the mistake of viewing Jesus from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. I wonder if there's anybody in your life who you need to know different now. I wonder if this Christmas you can set aside some assumptions and suspicions and welcome someone to become who they can be with Jesus. When Jesus was criticized as a friend of sinners, he had welcomed those sinners as friends. He'd paid attention to them. He was genuinely interested in them and found reasons to enjoy being with them. He saw who they could be with him and welcomed them to become who they could be. That's how Jesus welcomes us. And that's how we can welcome others. What a thrill of being welcomed like that. Here's the third and final lesson we get from Jesus on hospitality is this, that Jesus breaks down old lines of prejudice and reaches beyond the comforts of bias. Hospitality becomes a challenge when we don't want to be bothered. You ever just don't want to be bothered? Ever feel bothered by somebody? I know you do. It can be uncomfortable to welcome someone different from me. If we don't hold the same values, if we don't share the same opinions, if we come from different religious backgrounds, or we aren't of the same ethnicity or economic status or level of education, there are all kinds of prejudice and bias that can get in our way of welcoming one another. And Jesus loves to tear down divisions and eradicate prejudice and uproot bias so that we can welcome one another like he welcomes. Paul gives us an example of this challenge out of his own life, tells a story about a time when he and Peter found themselves at the same dinner party. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, when Cephas, that's Peter, that's another name for Peter, came to Antioch, Paul said, I had to oppose him to his face because he stood condemned. What's going on here? Verse 12, for before certain men, before these friends of James, that's a group of Jewish visitors that have come from Jerusalem. Before they came, Peter used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. He's worried, what will those Jewish friends of mine from Jerusalem think of me? Verse 13, the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas, even this hero of encouragement, the Bible tells us, was led astray. What's going on here? Old lines of prejudice and comfortable bias are posing a hospitality challenge. Peter knows, he knows that Jesus has torn down the old dividing lines between Jews and Gentiles, but it's a hard change for Peter to make. And so when his Jewish friends come to town, it's not that his theology changes. It's not that he doesn't believe that Jesus has torn those separations down. It's just easier to play by the old comfortable rules of bias. Never mind that it betrays Peter's non-Jewish friendships, but then Peter is no stranger to betrayal. What seems like a small act of bias creates ripple effects of prejudice through the whole church. And Paul won't stand for it because he knows to welcome others as Jesus welcomes us, I must be willing to see the biases in me. And with the help of God and the help of one another, I can uproot and I can remove prejudice from my life. Having been strangers to the grace of God and foreign to the presence of God and outside the holiness of God, we now are welcomed into life with God. How could we offer anything to one another but the thrill of being welcomed like Jesus welcomes us? You never know what God might be up to in your life when you welcome someone in the way Jesus welcomes you. One of the most intriguing verses in the Bible is Hebrews 13 that says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Are we going to meet some angels? Now, I know who will be at my house this Christmas, and they are not angels. They are family. Will we meet angels? I don't know. But you never know what God might do when we fearlessly welcome friends and strangers alike out of the cold of a no-room world and into the welcome of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. C.A., can we be a church this Christmas season that welcomes big, that removes those divisions and refuses to get divisive, but instead to keep Jesus and his example ever before us. One of the greatest pictures of God's welcome is baptism. And we're going to get to see that today. In fact, across the weekend, we got over 20 people getting baptized. And yeah. And, you know, the reason to get into that water, it's not because your family wants you to or your church wants you to. It's because Jesus invites you into that water. He invites you and I into life with him. Because of the blood shed on the cross for you and me, our sins can be washed away and we can stand welcome before God. Mark, would you come and would you lead us through these baptisms?
Be glad to. Before we transition into baptism, could we do some, I marvel again at the power of God's word as I heard it again tonight. And Matt, that was just brilliant, Could we just, wait. Could we just, for the truth that we heard, and also thank you, Matt, for the work that went into that tonight, can we applaud, say thank you to Matt, and thank you to the power of God's word. Well, as Matt said, we have six tonight who responded to the welcome of Jesus and have decided to follow him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I got to meet some other family members and friends who are here on behalf of those who are being baptized and how we welcome you. The greatest decision a person will ever make is who they're going to worship. And we have six tonight who have crossed that line. And for them, it is worth the totality of their life to follow Jesus Christ. Now, as a part of their baptism class, we take just a little part of their story, abbreviate it, and read it so you can be a part of that as well. So the first I'm going to ask James. James, where are you? Would you come and... James, come, please. Good to meet you, James. Bless you.
My name is James. Before I gave my life to Jesus, I felt empty and lonely. I realized that I was trusting in too many people and not the Lord. I decided to trust Christ alone for my salvation, joy, clarity, and prosperity. I have more direction. Things that I used to do, I don't want to do anymore. Instead, I want to devote my life to him.
Amen.
Amen.
As a part of the baptism class, as Matt said, tonight is not about improving your standing with God. You could not be more loved. You are simply responding to the love that has already been given to you. Colossians says there's a record that is held against every one of us, but in Christ that debt has been paid and canceled. So, James, all weekend we're just going to, as a reminder of the sin that's been canceled through Jesus Christ, we're just going to put him up there. Amen. Thank you, James. Thank you. Thank you. And Noah, where? Here's Noah.
My name is Noah. 3 years ago, I personally decided to receive Jesus. During the quarantine, my faith was challenged and my anxiety worsened. But I began to strengthen my faith and form a deeper connection with Jesus. I've experienced the Holy Spirit in ways I've never known. God has been speaking to me, healing my perfectionism, bringing me joy,
and I feel more connected to his church.
Amen. Amen. Noah, would you put that up there? Karina, would you come and join me?
My name is Karina. Before I decided to trust Jesus, going to church felt like a chore that had to be done, and I was seeking fulfillment in other things like popularity, sports, or impressing others. This year at Hume, I felt called to commit to Christ, and I decided to trust in him after the night chapel. Ever since then, I have trust and joy in the Lord, needing nothing else besides Christ.
Karina, add that up there, would you please, sweetheart? Ame, would you come?
My name is Ame. I have believed and trusted in God for most of my life, never feeling like I was without him. But 6 years ago, my mom prayed over me, and I accepted Jesus into my life, putting my full faith in him. Ever since that day, I have felt more and more hunger for God. I pray to him every day, and I seek him in times of happiness and trouble.
Amen. Amen. And then Braddock, would you join me?
My name is Braddock. My parents have always brought me to church, and I first accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. Since then, my relationship with Jesus has developed as I keep learning and growing in my faith. I want to be baptized because of my decision to trust and live for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And then, Cora, would you come?
My name is Cora. I grew up going to church and knowing about Jesus, but I didn't fully understand what it meant to be committed or to have a relationship with him. One Saturday night at 678, one of my pastors talked about recommitting our lives to Jesus, and I knew I needed to. I prayed with my pastor and committed to trust and follow Jesus. Now I can actually feel God's presence in my life.
Amen. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. James, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Karina, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Braddock and Cora, by the way, are brother and sister, so great they can do this together. Braddock, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Cora, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand up together. We're going to celebrate as we sing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Let's sing again. There's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
You turn mourning into dancing.
'Cause you turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. 'Cause you're the only one who can. You turn, 'cause you turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. 'Cause you're the only one who can. You're the only one. You're the only one who can. You're the only one. You're the only one who can. There's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. 'Cause nothing is better than you. There's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. 'Cause nothing is better than you.
Can we applaud the Lord for the new life that's found in Christ? Well, right after this, we're going to have a little Christmas party outside in the courtyard, but I want to send you out with these words of blessing. So would you receive these words now as you leave this place? Now as you go, may you be led just like the wise men by the shining star of God's presence. Go in peace and in joy and in hope and in love to meet God and the people of this world, sharing with all the good news of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.